The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Death and destruction, death and destruction. That is what your president, Donald Trump, decreed. He decreed this would be the result if he were arrested. And tonight is the last night before his arrest. I am Pastor Sam, and along with the Gospel Gunslingers, we bring you the Living by the Sword shortwave radio program broadcasting from exile in Mexico's cartel country. Just like the revolutionaries and outlaws of a bygone era, we made a run for the Rio Grande. Maybe the era's not so bygone because we're still doing it. We intend to make our nations great, and this is how we bring you this broadcast from exile in what's left of the free world. I'm not going to belabor the news tonight. I think everybody knows that nation after nation is abandoning the dollar, that the bank collapse is continuing despite a massive media cover-up, that Donald Trump has flatly ordered his supporters and constituents to fight for his freedom, and that the devil worshippers and all the trans weirdos and the pedophiles have done the same. They have put out the order to take up arms and to kill the Christ cucks. And if you don't know what that is, it's you. It's a derogatory name for someone who loves the Lord Jesus and traditional American values. All those old blues musicians were barbarians. Maybe it's our own modern society that has descended into barbarism, because there's nothing more barbaric, in my opinion, and according to the Bible, than leasing out, lending out, borrowing women. Oh, it can look civilized. It can look like an epidemic of divorce, and then all the parents are free, and the door is open to all this stepchild incest.
where I live, a particularly dark area dominated by drug dealers and their street soldiers, a vast number of pregnancies result from rape and kidnap. Straight up kidnap. No person under 60 years old had a biblical courtship. Most of the time, a girl is not even allowed to come of age. So what's the civilized thing to do? What's the modern response? What's a modern gentleman supposed to do? To just allow it, right? Well, do you think it's going to not infect your own family? No, it will affect you. And in today's Gospel Gunslingers Bible verse of the day, I want to draw your attention that the Bible says, let not, let not. This means do not let. It means do not allow. It means that you have to fight to protect what's yours. This is why my grandfather pinned on his wings and bombed occupied Europe into a moonscape almost 80 years ago. Let's read our verse, Proverbs 5:17. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Now this is talking about sex with your wife. That's what it's talking about. Just like King Biscuit Boy, just like our blues tune of the day, Boom Boom, which has been covered by over 50 artists since it was originally written by Stu Peters. Let's read a little more. Verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Just in case you wonder what it is we're talking about here, about waters and wells, later this becomes a little more clear. The wife of thy youth, verse 18. Let her be thy loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Sometimes the Bible, in betwixt all the prose, makes it very, very clear what we're talking about. This is about your woman. The song goes on, I've never been this mad before. Here's a man, ready for some boom boom. He's ready to get in his sights all of the malefactors, all of the guilty, even if it is the woman herself. This man has gone on the rampage because of a violation of Proverbs 5:17. So I gotta ask you out there, are you mad, bro? You mad, bro? What's it gonna take? Some other offense? Or have all the red lines been crossed?
President Tsai Ing-wen of Taiwan is in the Americas. Joe Biden's lunacy, his war with Russia, his provocative instigation against the Russian Federation is about to go nuclear. And the Taiwan conflict is really about to kick off. The dollar is folding. The stock market is wobbling on the edge of cratering. The banks are collapsing. Listen, America, it is game time. Execute, execute. Or you could just do what you've been doing. Sit on the couch and suck your thumb and wait for trouble to come to you. I advise you, that is an unadvisable course of action. It's time to be proactive. It's time to get amped up. Maybe a little bit of Nugent will help us all to get amped up. This is the number one song of our boys in uniform from around the world before they go into battle. Let's hear the Ted from 1977. If a house gets in my way, baby, you know I'll burn it down. Hey, is a house in your way? Is a house in Donald Trump's way? Is there a house where there's intent to chain him and throw him underneath? What if, I wonder what if, that house was not there anymore? It's supposed to be your house anyway, don't you know?
Tell us me by the clam and I'll bet.
going to read y'all some Bible verses in a musical interlude. We're here in 2 Chronicles. Do you think that the Bible doesn't talk about a purge? Well, let's look at it. 2 Chronicles 34:3. Purge Judah and Jerusalem. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Okay, so he purged, but only of inanimate objects, right? Oh, no, it goes on. Look here in verse 5. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Yeah, the priests were executed of all these hedonistic rites, of all this transsexualism and homoeroticism, of all the child abuse, of all the pedophilia, of all the drag queenism. Yes, he executed, destroyed, he killed all of those offenders that defiled the land and caused the wrath of God to be against the nation by their damnable heresies, and then incinerated, cremated their bones upon their altars, and then smashed it all. Here where it tells it how he destroyed in verse 4, they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. So here again, even the parishioners, even those that had adjoined themselves to these sects, were executed, and then the abominable things were scattered over their graves. When he had purged the land and the house, verse 8, he set about to repair the house of the Lord his God. Verse 10, to repair and to amend the house. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, verse 14, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Do you think the Lord's law has not been lost in our day, that it has not been snuffed out, that it's not been covered with dust and cobwebs and forgotten? That's why I'm reading it to you, probably for the very first time. An earlier revival was similar in chapter 15. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, verse 2. Verse 3, now for a long season Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. This is you. This is your nation. You've been without the law of God and without a teaching priest. Then the Spirit of the Lord being upon the prophet Azariah, says in verse 7 to the private piles of that day, be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And what was their work? Oh, to renew the Lord's altar and to rebuild the monuments to the Lord and to the forefathers that were faithful to God, and to slay. Nobody wants to be first, but when these few go out, it says that there fell to him out of Israel in abundance. Many men joined when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Verse 9. Now I want you to listen very carefully. 2 Chronicles 15:12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. Who taught you the false and abominable doctrine that the wicked ought to be allowed to live? Not in our new world. They've been given their lands. Land has been allotted to them by their forefathers. They can work their heathenish idolatries and worship demons over there. They can do that in Asia. But in the Americas, not so. Are we going to allow someone to build a monstrosity that will cause the Lord to depart from our nation, that will cause him to depart from our armies, that the heathen should come in and slay us, that will defile the land and cause it to not bring forth its fruit? No, you get rid of those heathens. You get rid of their idols. You get rid of the names of their deities. You beat it small as the dust and destroy them out of your land. And then the Lord will go out with your armies. Here's two great deliverances. 13:15. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel. And the enemies, in verse 16, fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. In chapter 14, the Ethiopians come against them with an army of 1,000,000, 1,000,000 men against Tiny. Judah. And against this million men, it says in verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against them. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. They could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Will motivate you, said the gunnery sergeant to Private Pyle in full metal jacket, as he sat astride of a towering obstacle. And Private Pyle quivered because he could not find within himself the will to get over. I will motivate you, Private Pyle, if it hair-lips every cannibal on the Congo. Actually, the gunny was a little more direct even than that. Well, I'm going to be a little bit direct. All of you have not motivated Private Pyle. There has been no effort put forth to get over the obstacle. Don't put any effing effort into it, Private Pyle. If God wanted you up there, he'd have miracled your ass up there, said the gunny. I have tried to help Private Pyle. I have tried and I have failed, said the gunny. Well, that's how I feel. I have failed to motivate all of you away from the grabastic, homoerotic, abominable, pacifist doctrines of modern Christianity, papist, lisping Christianity. I wonder if you were all cornholed as children to remove your masculinity and your will to fight, to take away your sovereign birthright given to you by God. And probably many of you have, but do you know what? Even the eunuchs can wax strong in the fight, and even if you were abused, God will heal you and make you a mighty warrior if you let him. If you take up the sword like old Joe in this Hendrix tune, stand up now, be strong now, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
put no rope around me.
For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. This is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. I'm Pastor Sam. This is Proverbs 6:34. Where do you think heroes come from? My grandpa was not a fighter. He did not grow up in the karate dojo and hunt in the duck swamp, in the Mississippi backwaters and on the Wapsipinicon River, in the pheasant fields and in the squirrel woods. He, like great-grandpa Pop Fisher before him, was a civilized Methodist, a gentleman farmer. He wanted to finish his education at Iowa State. He wanted to take long walks with his sweetheart around Lake Laverne. When war broke out in 1941, when the news of Pearl Harbor came over the radio set like you're listening on right now, he did not feel some great sense of duty. He did not feel like so many Iraq veterans tell when they saw the World Trade Center towers fall. He was not incensed by Hitler's conquests or enraged at the Japanese. It was a fact the nation was at war and every man had to plan accordingly. Some enlisted, some went to Canada, fled, some got married and were thus exempted from the draft. But as for Grandpa, what caused this peaceful and reasonable man to go earn his wings, to go and lay waste to cities, to fly all the way to Berlin, to the heart of the Führer's empire, to fly through thick clouds of black flak? The cannon shells would shake the ship as shrapnel pinged off the aluminum skin or whistled right through it. After releasing his bomb load over the target, he was free to maneuver, but then the Luftwaffe would take a crack. The whole ship would shudder as his heavy machine guns fired in all directions, fending off the fighters. For days, the 101st Airborne was pinned down in their frozen foxholes outside Bastogne. Finally, the fog lifted, and Grandpa's ship was armed with incendiaries. He never went to Dresden, but he sure enough burnt down the Ardennes Forest. Very difficult for a degreed forester who knew the names of every tree, but he left the Nazis no place to hide. So why did Grandpa do all that? The same reason as Samson. It's all in Judges 15. Because his future with his sweetheart was threatened. Now, Americans, I need you to get mad. I don't know a single American whose life has not been affected by Masonic divorce judges, by CPS taking their children and farming them out to a bunch of perverts and queers. It's in your Bible, too. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily. Orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7. The apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world? Or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something. Someday very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
Horrible deals for our country. But the destruction of the rule of law is a tremendous threat to Western civilization. And I say, I was asked the other day, and I took a little heat for it. They said, who's our biggest threat? Is it China, sir? Is it Russia? I said, no, our biggest threat are high-level politicians that work in the United States government, like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, Justice Department, because that's poisoning our country. I can do things with China. I made the greatest trade deal in history with China. I don't even talk about it because sometime after that, fairly shortly, what happened with COVID, it was like I didn't want to talk about a trade deal because no trade deal you make is going to ever.
And I will move heaven and earth to fully secure our elections. Our goal will be one-day voting with all paper ballots. Very simple. But until that day comes, Republicans must compete using every lawful means to win. We have to do it. This election is everything. We're not going to have a country left if we don't win this election. This agenda will end America's destruction at the hands of Biden and the radical left Democrats.
Do you recognize the voice of your president, Donald John Trump, here declaring war on the deep state, unlimited war, total war, no compromise, no quarter? Everybody's talking about Trump's tweet. Well, it was on his platform, Truth Social, whatever you call it, tweet on there, where he showed a picture of himself with a bat beside the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, who's threatening to arrest the president, and who took $1 million worth of George Soros money and campaigned on this promise that he would put Donald Trump behind bars. Listen here, you tyrants and swamp creatures. Do you want to see 100 million armed citizens become absolutely ungovernable? Just arrest Donald Trump. Just kill Alex Jones. Just try to take away our voice at the voting polls. Okay, so over the years, they have taken away our voice at the voting polls. They have taken our women. They have taken our children. What about all you mama bears that have lost your children and your loves?
No kidding. I'm ready to go. And if I find her, boy, don't you know, America's about to get mad about her birthright being taken from her. Trump said in 2016 when he was campaigning, when Hillary was working overtime to steal the election, he said, if the election's stolen, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Well, maybe the Second Amendment people can do something about it. You want to talk about President Trump calling for violence? He called for violence 6 years ago in the event that these crimes would continue to be perpetrated against the American people. Well, the swamp has called his bluff and your bluff. The swamp has not desisted from their wicked activities. They have not stopped from stealing elections, and they're trying to arrest Donald Trump to take away any voice that you may ever have. America always knew that the swamp would not be drained through some civil process and police and handcuffs and all of that. No nation has ever broken free from tyranny by a civil process. It is always open war in the streets, every man slaying his man. Alex Jones was repudiating violence and condemning the president for his remarks. Of course, that's the only thing that Alex can do, because 500 agents would kick in his door tomorrow and burn InfoWars to the ground like Waco, Texas, if he were to do anything else. And Alex said, who's the enemy? Who do you shoot? Do you shoot a cop? That's senseless. Listen, everybody knows who the perverts are in their neighborhood. There's such a thing as a sex offender registry, if you don't know. Just because it has not gotten the sex offenders off the street, just because the pervert and the child molester and the Sancho is still right down the street from you, and that registry has therefore not completed its task, it's still there, but everybody already knows who has ruined their family, who the corrupt perverts are at their level. If we just forget about all the thousands of laws and go back to the 5 original laws in Plymouth Colony that carried the death penalty, making a pact with the devil, adultery, murder, arson, and bestiality. It's that simple. The Puritans could not even imagine how commonplace incest would be in our age. Nevertheless, that still falls under the purvey of adultery. You want to know who is the enemy of America? It is those homewreckers and the political class that has protected them. It's not an accident that Trump's rally was in Waco, Texas, on the 30th anniversary of the police state coming in under Janet Reno and Bill Clinton, the swamp of that day, labeled a community religious extremists. Oh, they called Koresh a pedophile. The pot is always going to call the kettle black. Then they assaulted the compound and burned it down, killed 82 people and 4 federal agents, which happened to be ex-bodyguards of Bill Clinton and knew all about his Arkansas drug running. And the video's right online of another officer shooting them all in the back as they entered the upper window from the roof of the Waco compound. Yeah, America remembers Waco. America remembers Ruby Ridge. America remembers Oklahoma City, and not your official narrative. We remember Gulf War Syndrome, which was caused by depleted uranium weapons being used in the sandbox wars, where we shouldn't have even been in the first place. And to cover all of that up, an inside job happens. The 1995 detonation of the federal building in Oklahoma City. Yes, Donald J. Trump is drawing the attention of America to those events, to Ruby Ridge, to Oklahoma City, to the Twin Towers and inside job, to all the unnecessary warmongering that has cost so many of America's sons and daughters. And Donald Trump is asking for you to get a little bit mad about it. Otherwise, he will never be allowed to be president. He will be imprisoned or he will be dead. The deep state has been trying to kill him from day one, and they will succeed if you do not put the fear of God into the tyrants. This is why Donald Trump has put out the call to arms, typing it in all caps on Truth Social. The time is now. The time is now. The time to act is not November the 5th, 2024. The time to act is now. Boom, boom, out go the lights. Coming up, this time the 1970 George Smith and Bacon Fat rendition.
before the break was Black Betty, Bamba Lamba Lamb, a tune covered by over 50 bands since its first recording in 1933 by James Ironhead Baker, convicted burglar doing time in a Texas penitentiary. I played for you the 1977 recording by Ram Jam, what's known as the definitive version. All right, here we go. Back to the Bible. Stay tuned for Bacon Fat. There were a couple of bitch princesses in Israel, dilettantes who grew up knowing nothing but the palace and the king's dainties. Both of them were loved by a poor country boy who would later be known as David the King. They had plenty of reason to be impressed by David as the giant slayer and later as a dapper army captain. Very much unlike David's two later wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail of Carmel, who knew David as a poor rebel. He was running the fact out of Libya, living in a cave, asking for handouts. Very different from these princesses who were kept women from the cradle. The rocker said, "All the debutantes in Houston, baby, oh, they couldn't hold a candle to you." So first was the elder daughter, Merab. Now, her hand in marriage was supposed to be part of the compensation package for slaying the giant Goliath the Philistine, along with the reward money and some tax credits. It's all right here in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, 1 Samuel 17:25. "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.'" Number one, if you kill the giant, you get the reward money. Number three, your father's house, not just the killer's house, his father's house is free from taxation in Israel. And number two, he gets to marry the princess. But Saul backed out of the deal here in chapter 18, verse 19. "But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. They immediately got busy, and she started popping out puppies, another man's children and grandchildren for Saul." Of course, David later married the younger sister after laying out the bride price of 200 Philistine foreskins. Yet when it was time to flee her father, she did not go with David. She covered his escape and stayed back with Daddy in the palace. Then she was given to another man, and she and her sister Merab hung out in the palace, raising their kitties together. When David, as an old man, had to choose 7 descendants of Saul to be sacrificed because of the evil that Saul did against the Nephilim Gibeonites that had been accepted in Israel by the word of the prophet and the covenant of Joshua, guess who David chose to die? 5 of the children of those princesses, children that should have been his. And perhaps 45 years after the fact, King David was still sore about it and avenged the injustice he had suffered.
light.
Covered by over 50 bands. Black Betty has been covered by hundreds of known acts, and both of those are staples of the rock and blues genre, and before that, folk and traditional. I just think maybe a patriot would say, America ain't mine no more. She ain't mine no more. You know who's starting to get mad? Is the Taiwanese. They've only got three continental allies in the Americas, other than some little islands that have the same problems and deficiencies as Taiwan being an island nation. One of those continental allies is tiny Belize. Other than that, Guatemala in Central America and Paraguay in South America. Each of those nations are embattled in trying to keep their freedom and their conservative center-right governments. But just this week, Honduras was lost as a Taiwan ally. They switched their allegiance to Red China, Communist China, the People's Republic of China. Honduras is a great nation. They were doing so well under President Juan Orlando Hernandez. He and his senator brother sent 32 drug traffickers to the U.S. for prosecution, and they're in the jails in New York. But then do you know what the Manhattan District Attorney's Office did? Put the president, the ex-president of Honduras, Juan Orlando Hernandez, in prison. You know who testified against him? The same 32 drug traffickers that he and his brother Tony Hernandez sent to the USA for prosecution. Yeah, the same office, Alvin Bragg's office, that's coming after President Donald Trump, took the conservative ex-president of Honduras, got him arrested, extradited to the USA, convicted, and he is in federal prison today in the USA. Do you think these people are bluffing? Do you think they're joking about throwing Donald Trump in jail? They are not joking. They are not bluffing. And if I were you, I would not bluff either. Many migrant caravans were stopped in Honduras by the Juan Orlando Hernandez presidency. In yet another stolen election, Honduras was transformed into a banana republic overnight, with Lady President Xiomara Castro being elected. President Castro is the wife of Manuel Zelaya, the leftist former president of Honduras. He was ousted by military force in 2009, yet he's back like a bad cold as the first gentleman of Honduras. Zelaya was president during the Obama years, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was very close to Zelaya. Listen, fat Americans, you allowed your government to topple these legitimate governments and to put in banana republics. These nations worked with Trump to stop caravans. Now they hammer up against the Mexican border. And I keep hearing Americans say, Mexico's not doing anything about migration. They can't even control their own borders. It's time for my fellow Americans to acknowledge their complacency and the part of the United States rogue government, the deep state, in toppling nation after nation and throwing conservative presidents in jail.
You mad, bro? You gonna get mad about it? You know who's already mad? The Taiwanese. I have never seen the Taiwanese foreign minister get on and threaten China for recruiting their allies and dumping money to try to woo away any ally in the Americas. Of course, it's more than just the money, and it's more than just China. It is traitors that are Chinese-controlled within the U.S. government that created the banana republic that Honduras is today. And this is why Honduras has switched allegiance. So, from four continental allies of Taiwan to three. In 1 week, they've lost a domino, a significant nation that provided raw materials, mining, agricultural products and labor to the island nation of Taiwan. No kidding, Taiwan is ready to fight. Back to the Trump rally, Trump is seriously having buyer's remorse about all these globalists that he allowed into his government, like Bushy Barr and warmonger John Bolton and his pushbroom mustache from the neocon Republicans. Texas Governor Greg Abbott was sitting right there in his wheelchair and Trump refused to acknowledge him, flat snubbed him, and acknowledged Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, and Dan Patrick, the Lieutenant Governor of Texas. Trump did not say a word to Governor Greg Abbott, who's still protecting Cabeza de Vaca, the worst criminal, drug, and human trafficker in the Western Hemisphere, and he's living openly in Texas. He's wanted in all of Mexico. The Bushies want to put him in as the President of Mexico. Trump Saturday flatly declared war on the deep state. He declared war. Your leader, your president, declared unlimited war on the deep state. And you know what he said? Paper ballots. That's a great idea. I gotta admit that it was I who gave him that idea, shouting out two times in Des Moines, Iowa at Drake University, very close to the president. Paper ballots. Paper ballots. Yes, Mr. Trump, before the fact, I declared to you what was the Achilles heel of your administration and how you would be thrown out of the White House is by your failure to use paper ballots and enforce that nationwide.
And I will move heaven and earth to fully secure our elections. Our goal will be one day voting with all paper ballots. Our goal will be one day voting with all paper ballots. Very simple.
We're already into my no-holds-barred final commentary segment, and I haven't given you the good news for the day. Well, it's still about a death, but a death of a beloved character. Reading from BBC.com, every Sunday morning for nearly five decades, millions of Mexican families gathered around their televisions to watch Chabelo. The squeaky-voiced, short-wearing child character was played by Mexican actor, entertainer, and businessman Javier López Rodríguez, who died Saturday at the age of 88. His children's game show, En Familia con Chabelo, aired live every Sunday for 45 years and even made the Guinness Book of World Records for its unprecedented broadcast run. Rest in peace, Chabelo. Te amamos. Execution by firing squad will soon be legal again in Idaho. Bill H-186 has now passed the Idaho Senate and House with a veto-proof majority. Reading from Daily Mail, the Idaho State Senate held a meeting Monday to debate the GOP-backed bill and voted overwhelmingly to bring the punishment back, with 24 out of 35 lawmakers motioning in its favor. Skog, the lawmaker, also recently pointed out to the Idaho Capital Sun that other states like Utah have brought back the use of a firing squad in recent years due to their inability to get the lethal injection chemicals. Other states to bring back the punishment include Mississippi, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, with Idaho legalizing it in 1982 before eventually doing away with it in 2009, leaving lethal injection as the only legal form of execution in the state. That's always been the plan, to whittle away at capital punishment, both doctrinally and legally, until it just doesn't exist anymore, when really we should have a speedy and public trial and quick executions, like in the old West. That's how the West was won. It's not just Donald Trump who's under threat of arrest. MSN.com reports the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant against Putin, to which Russian state TV host Vladimir Solovyov spoke out to warn that, quote, any attempt to implement the warrant is a declaration of war, unquote.
He continues, quote, "It calls for an immediate nuclear strike on that country. Immediate! Any attempt to do it, to go against the will of the Russian people, which has made itself very clear, must result in a missile strike." A nuclear strike. Wow. That's audience participation. On that note, I think we're going to end with the final and definitive 1976 Pat Travers Band version of Boom Boom, Out Go the Lights. Can I get a little audience participation from my American friends? I say Boom Boom.
Hey. One.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.